Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear people talking in eight different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B or C. 1. You overhear a woman recommending a campsite. Why does she recommend it? A. It's close to tourist attractions. B. It's in an area of natural beauty. C. It has a wide range of facilities.
Well, there are two campsites about 5 kilometres apart, but I'd go to the Morvich site if I were you. Unless you want to be near the castle and the museum, which are a fair distance from it even if you're driving. All we wanted was to be able to go for walks and enjoy the stunning views of the lake. You definitely wouldn't get that at the other site. Though I've heard that the showers are better than at Morvich, and it's also got a little shop which you may find useful. We don't bother about things like that, so we'll definitely go back to Morvich next summer.
Now play the recording again.
Well, there are two campsites about 5 kilometres apart, but I'd go to the Morvich site if I were you. Unless you want to be near the castle and the museum, which are a fair distance from it even if you're driving. All we wanted was to be able to go for walks and enjoy the stunning views of the lake. You definitely wouldn't get that at the other site. Though I've heard that the showers are better than at Morvich, and it's also got a little shop which you may find useful. We don't bother about things like that, so we'll definitely go back to Morvich next summer.
2. On a radio programme, you hear some information about a future guest. What will he be talking about? A. Organising a mountain holiday. B. Learning mountain climbing skills. C. Buying mountaineering equipment.
With the summer approaching and all this good weather we're having, it's time to start thinking of the outdoor life. Graham Sanders, who's an expert on mountain climbing, is going to be explaining how to make sure you get exactly the right kit. There's so many products now that finding the right items can be a difficult job. But by picking up some insider secrets, you can be sure of making the right choice. And when you've got your gear home, it'll be time to show off all you can do. As Graham often says, with some preparation, anybody can climb even the highest mountain.
Now play the recording again.
With the summer approaching and all this good weather we're having, it's time to start thinking of the outdoor life. Graham Sanders, who's an expert on mountain climbing, is going to be explaining how to make sure you get exactly the right kit. There's so many products now that finding the right items can be a difficult job. But by picking up some insider secrets, you can be sure of making the right choice. And when you've got your gear home, it'll be time to show off all you can do. As Graham often says, with some preparation, anybody can climb even the highest mountain.
3. You hear a man talking about a ceramics course he attended. What aspect of the course did he find unsatisfactory? A. The level of support from the staff. B. The quality of the materials. C. The cost for students.
This was a 1-week course, and I decided to go for it because at school I never had much time for art. I paid £30, which is reasonable when you consider that the materials are included. The thing is, although I didn't expect the teacher to do it all for me, I did at least expect some ideas about what to do, some useful tips, you know, like you should design your piece on paper first, which would have been useful. Anyway, the plate I produced didn't look very professional, but I made a great soap dish for my bathroom. I don't think the other students did much better.
Now play the recording again.
This was a one-week course, and I decided to go for it because at school I never had much time for art. I paid £30, which is reasonable when you consider that the materials are included. The thing is, although I didn't expect the teacher to do it all for me, I did at least expect some ideas about what to do. Some useful tips, you know, like you should design your piece on paper first, which would have been useful. Anyway, the plate I produced didn't look very professional, but I made a great soap dish for my bathroom. I don't think the other students did much better.
4. You hear part of a talk about how to look fit and healthy. What is the speaker's advice? A. Check your weight regularly. B. Build up your muscles. C. Avoid certain foods.
As soon as you start an exercise program, you'll start looking healthier. And if you keep it up, you'll see the difference in the mirror within a few weeks. Forget the scales. They're not a good way of telling if you're losing body fat. Replacing fat with muscle makes you look better, but it may actually increase your weight, as muscle weighs more. So just look in the mirror and enjoy the improvement. And don't be fooled by the usual fad diets telling you to cut out sugar or bread. None of them work, and some people think they're downright dangerous.
Now play the recording again.
As soon as you start an exercise program, you'll start looking healthier. And if you keep it up, you'll see the difference in the mirror within a few weeks. Forget the scales. They're not a good way of telling if you're losing body fat. Replacing fat with muscle makes you look better, but it may actually increase your weight, as muscle weighs more. So just look in the mirror and enjoy the improvement. And don't be fooled by the usual fad diets telling you to cut out sugar or bread. None of them work, and some people think they're downright dangerous.
5. You hear the beginning of a program about college canteens. What point is being made about them? A. The choice of food has improved. B. Students like the food on offer there. C. Teachers complain about the quality of the food.
A team of nutritionists has been evaluating the food which is on sale in a number of college canteens, with surprising results. The survey shows that the increased variety of snacks on offer is remarkable, though the situation's still far from ideal. It wasn't long ago that there were constant complaints about the lack of fruit and vegetables and the predominance of high sugar and fatty items, from teachers in particular. Probably as a result of that pressure, colleges became aware of the problem without ever promising quick results. Perhaps not surprisingly, the students themselves say they miss the sweeter snacks.
Now play the recording again.
A team of nutritionists has been evaluating the food which is on sale in a number of college canteens, with surprising results. The survey shows that the increased variety of snacks on offer is remarkable, though the situation's still far from ideal. It wasn't long ago that there were constant complaints about the lack of fruit and vegetables and the predominance of high sugar and fatty items, from teachers in particular. Probably as a result of that pressure, colleges became aware of the problem without ever promising quick results. Perhaps not surprisingly, the students themselves say they miss the sweeter snacks.
6. You hear the weather forecast on the radio. How will the weather change tomorrow? A. It will get colder. B. It will get sunnier. C. It will get windier.
Now for the weather in the northeast for the rest of today and tomorrow. The spell of cold weather, brought in by Arctic winds, is set to continue today, with increasing cloud this afternoon, followed by snow showers in the evening. Tomorrow's looking more promising, with temperatures rising by 2 or 3 degrees as a result of a few more hours of sunshine, though the wind will remain strong, perhaps slightly less so than today, with gusts of up to 80 kilometres an hour in most areas. The severe weather's likely to continue well into next week.
Now play the recording again.
Now for the weather in the northeast for the rest of today and tomorrow. The spell of cold weather, brought in by Arctic winds, is set to continue today, with increasing cloud this afternoon, followed by snow showers in the evening. Tomorrow's looking more promising, with temperatures rising by 2 or 3 degrees as a result of a few more hours of sunshine, though the wind will remain strong, perhaps slightly less so than today, with gusts of up to 80 kilometres an hour in most areas. The severe weather's likely to continue well into next week.
7. On the radio, you hear a sports journalist talking about an article she has written. What is the article about? A. The history of sport. B. The benefits of sport. C. The lack of sports facilities.
There's a lot of talk nowadays about how children should be doing more sport and spending less time in front of the television or computer. Nobody doubts the fact that sport is good for your health, so I didn't feel it was necessary to deal with this in my article. My intention was to raise awareness of a key problem we need to address. We can't just say, go out and play a sport, without first investing more on sports venues. We need to look at how other countries deal with this problem, and also at what we can learn from the past.
Now play the recording again.
There's a lot of talk nowadays about how children should be doing more sport and spending less time in front of the television or computer. Nobody doubts the fact that sport is good for your health, so I didn't feel it was necessary to deal with this in my article. My intention was to raise awareness of a key problem we need to address. We can't just say, go out and play a sport, without first investing more on sports venues. We need to look at how other countries deal with this problem, and also at what we can learn from the past.
8. You hear a young man giving a talk about going camping. What is his advice? A. Take a good variety of foodstuffs. B. Go prepared for bad weather. C. Choose the area carefully.
Camping is the best kind of holiday for me. I spend a lot of time planning each trip, so I can definitely give you some good advice. I believe in making sure I'll be warm and comfortable, so I take what some of my friends think is a completely unnecessary amount of clothing in case it gets cold or wet. Well, it's always worked for me, and I think they're crazy when I see the amount of food they take, which I wouldn't advise you to do because it's always possible to find things locally. Wherever you're camping, there's always a village not too far away.
Now play the recording again.
Camping is the best kind of holiday for me. I spend a lot of time planning each trip, so I can definitely give you some good advice. I believe in making sure I'll be warm and comfortable, so I take what some of my friends think is a completely unnecessary amount of clothing in case it gets cold or wet. Well, it's always worked for me, and I think they're crazy when I see the amount of food they take, which I wouldn't advise you to do because it's always possible to find things locally. Wherever you're camping, there's always a village not too far away.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two. You'll hear a radio program about the history of roller skating. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two.
In today's programme, I'm going to be talking about roller skating, how the sport started and how it has developed over the years. So, who was the first person to come up with the idea of attaching wheels to the feet in order to get about more quickly and easily? Well, roller skates are not a new invention. In fact, roller skating developed out of the much older activity of ice skating, which has existed in Scandinavia and other northern countries for centuries. The actual inventor of the first roller skates is not known, but it's generally thought that they originated in Holland in the early 1700s. Roller skates first arrived in Britain in 1760, when the Belgian clockmaker, John Merlin, wore some to a formal ball in London. Merlin was known as something of a mad inventor, but he surprised everybody at the ball when he whizzed past them on wheels, playing the violin at the same time. Unfortunately, Merlin did not manage to persuade people that roller skating was a good idea. His skates had no brakes, and he ended up crashing into a large mirror. Merlin was quite seriously injured in the accident, and as a result, roller skating did not immediately become popular in Britain. In Germany, however, roller skates made a better impression. They were used in a ballet with the name Winter Pleasures, which included a scene where the dancers skated on ice. Because they couldn't produce the ice on stage, the organisers decided to use roller skates instead. After this, the sport gradually became more popular. But it was only thanks to technical advances that it became safer. In 1863, an American named James Plimpton solved the problem of controlling direction when skating by fitting them with rubber springs. His design is widely regarded as the origin of the modern roller skate, although rubber toe brakes, another important safety feature, didn't come in until the 1870s. The late 19th century saw the beginnings of events such as speed contests, artistic displays, and roller dancing, as well as the first team sport on roller skates, roller hockey. During the first decades of the 20th century, hundreds of indoor and outdoor roller skating rinks opened, especially in the USA, and the sport became really established as a popular pastime. The first roller skating championships were held in Detroit in 1937. The real development of the modern roller skate only began in the second half of the 20th century. From the 1950s onwards, the use of plastics led to improvements in the design and performance of roller skates, and roller disco movies of the 1970s and 1980s increased the popularity of the sport, with roller discos opening in many parts of the world. Meanwhile, the stage musical Starlight Express, which features roller skating, ran for 17 years and was seen by 8 million people. The sport of roller skating has also been gaining a more serious following, especially in Southern Europe and South America. The biggest modern change to roller skates came in 1983 with the introduction of inline skates, also known as rollerblades. Then, during the 1990s, new materials, brakes and boot fastenings all combined to make skates both lighter and safer than they had ever been in the past. So why is roller skating so popular? I went to talk to some fans at a rink in Huddersfield.
Now play the recording again.
In today's programme, I'm going to be talking about roller skating, how the sport started and how it has developed over the years. So, who was the first person to come up with the idea of attaching wheels to the feet in order to get about more quickly and easily? Well, roller skates are not a new invention. In fact, roller skating developed out of the much older activity of ice skating, which has existed in Scandinavia and other northern countries for centuries. The actual inventor of the first roller skates is not known, but it's generally thought that they originated in Holland in the early 1700s. Roller skates first arrived in Britain in 1760, when the Belgian clockmaker, John Merlin, wore some to a formal ball in London. Merlin was known as something of a mad inventor, but he surprised everybody at the ball when he whizzed past them on wheels, playing the violin at the same time. Unfortunately, Merlin did not manage to persuade people that roller skating was a good idea. His skates had no brakes, and he ended up crashing into a large mirror. Merlin was quite seriously injured in the accident, and as a result, roller skating did not immediately become popular in Britain. In Germany, however, roller skates made a better impression. They were used in a ballet with the name Winter Pleasures, which included a scene where the dancers skated on ice. Because they couldn't produce the ice on stage, the organisers decided to use roller skates instead. After this, the sport gradually became more popular. But it was only thanks to technical advances that it became safer. In 1863, an American named James Plimpton solved the problem of controlling direction when skating by fitting them with rubber springs. His design is widely regarded as the origin of the modern roller skate, although rubber toe brakes, another important safety feature, didn't come in until the 1870s. The late 19th century saw the beginnings of events such as speed contests, artistic displays, and roller dancing, as well as the first team sport on roller skates, roller hockey. During the first decades of the 20th century, hundreds of indoor and outdoor roller skating rinks opened, especially in the USA, and the sport became really established as a popular pastime. The first roller skating championships were held in Detroit in 1937. The real development of the modern roller skate only began in the second half of the 20th century. From the 1950s onwards, the use of plastics led to improvements in the design and performance of roller skates, and roller disco movies of the 1970s and 1980s increased the popularity of the sport, with roller discos opening in many parts of the world. Meanwhile, the stage musical Starlight Express, which features roller skating, ran for 17 years and was seen by 8 million people. The sport of roller skating has also been gaining a more serious following, especially in Southern Europe and South America. The biggest modern change to roller skates came in 1983 with the introduction of inline skates, also known as rollerblades. Then, during the 1990s, new materials, brakes and boot fastenings all combined to make skates both lighter and safer than they had ever been in the past. So why is roller skating so popular? I went to talk to some fans at a rink in Huddersfield.
That is the end of the listening section of the test. Now go on to the other sections of the test.